Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer, weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
We return to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Brought to you by Digitex. Office supplies at huge savings?
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
Ha, 135 in the Capital Region. Brendan Escott in for Bob Stauffer today. Royal Pizza is pizza, pasta, and so much more. Edmonton owned and operated for over 50 years now. For a menu and a list of their 14 Edmonton and area locations, go online to royalpizza.ca or download the Royal Pizza app from the App Store. Well, your Oilers are in Vegas as we speak. They'll skate, I think, about 25 minutes from now. That's what I was told. They're hitting the practice rink right as the show comes to an end at 2 o'clock our time today. But let's get the lowdown on Vegas from a new guest to the show. Danny Webster is a contributor to NHL.com for the Golden Knights, as well as the site manager for Knights on Ice at SB Nation. Danny, you're on with Brendan. How's it going today?
Doing well, Brendan. How you doing?
Doing really well. Appreciate you jumping on here with us. And hey, before we get to the hockey talk, I heard there was about 38.5 million Americans watching the Raiders take care of Dallas down in Dallas last night. What's the buzz in the city after that big Thanksgiving Day win for the Vegas Raiders?
Well, I'll tell you what. I think there are a lot of Raiders fans here who are kind of breathing a bit of sigh of relief after the way the last 2-3 weeks have gone, and the fact that they were able to not just win, but win against a banged-up Cowboys team. I think they'll take it at this point. So I would say for Raiders fans, things are looking a little bit decent for them right now.
Yeah, tough start to the season, tough midway point of the season there with a coaching change. Anyway, let's keep it to the ice here, and that is to assess the first quarter of the season, Danny, for Vegas. Maybe a little bit more adversity than we're used to seeing this franchise face. They've been a model organization in this league since they entered it, frankly. But 12-8, third in the Pacific Division at the quarter pole, the U.S. Thanksgiving mark. What are you seeing out of this team and how things have gone so far?
Well, I think the first thing you look at is how resilient this group is. I mean, you lose every player basically under the sun. You're throwing rookies in there who have not had any NHL experience, and to come out 12 out of 20 games on the win column, I think says a lot about where they are right now. And the fact that they were able to do it without the likes of Stone, without the likes of Pacioretty. William Karlsson has been out for a good portion of that now. Zach Whitecloud was out. Alec Martinez is out. Shea Theodore is out. The list goes on and on. And the fact that they were able to, you know, get 12 out of 20 on the win column at Thanksgiving, I think is truly probably the biggest success story that you could have asked for. And the fact that, you know, the fact that they're also able to win as much as they are with the likes of Edmonton and Calgary, putting on the pace that they are right now, you couldn't really ask for anything more out of them right now. And, you know, obviously tomorrow being a huge game as it is, and Edmonton will see Vegas at almost full strength for the first time. So if you're Vegas, you got to like what you see right now, and things have got to be pretty good right now.
Now, do you think that more of the success can be attributed to how Robin Leonard's really brought his game around in recent weeks? Or is it something where you've got a system put in place by Peter DeBoer that, you know, you can rotate some of these rookies into and have them finding success?
Oh, yeah, I definitely think the goalies have absolutely a lot to do with it, especially with Robin Leonard, because I think when you get into a situation where you don't have your top guys playing, it comes down to your goalies, and if your goalies can make the right saves at the right time, you're going to win a lot of hockey games. And Robin Leonard, throughout the stretch when Vegas was down, however many guys they were down, he had a lot of big saves and a lot of big games, and it kept a lot of teams to 1 to 2 goals a night. So definitely his play, I think, definitely helped with that. Laurent Brossoit came in as well and has given a couple of good starts as well in the backup role. But I do think that the system that Pete DeBoer has kind of put together to have everybody succeed at this current pace is actually a very good point. And, you know, we haven't really, like you mentioned earlier, we haven't really seen that, you know, in the 4 or 5 years of this franchise. You know, when Gerard Gallant was here, you know, you barely saw any rookies come in and play any games. Now that you have Pete DeBoer in, you kind of see just how effective his system is and just how effective it is to put the young guys in the right place to succeed. And you got guys that, again, haven't had any NHL experience, and they're scoring goals every other night. So definitely there is a good mixture between the both. Between both components there for sure.
Chatting with Danny Webster from NHL.com. He's a contributor there on the Vegas front, as well as site manager for Knights on Ice at SB Nation there. So in terms of having a new face of the, well, I wouldn't necessarily call face of the franchise Robin Leonard, you know, but Marc-Andre Fleury was for the first couple of years there. He gets traded away in the offseason, and I'm wondering if you can sort of elaborate on just the differences that you've noticed with this team on the ice, in the community, otherwise, in the absence of Marc-Andre Fleury, and just how things have changed since he's not there anymore.
Yeah, I think that there is a little bit of a difference. Obviously, you know, everybody knows Marc-Andre Fleury, the kind of person he is, you know, the type of personality that he is. It's definitely a different contrast of what Robin Leonard is. But I think what you've seen, you know, through these first 20 games, there are people that definitely are on Robin Leonard's side, and they want him to succeed, and they truly believe in him as a person, as someone who cares about this community and someone who is, you know, who wants to win a Stanley Cup above anything else. You know, it's definitely been interesting as far as not seeing Marc-Andre Fleury out here playing games, making acrobatic saves. It's definitely been, I think, weird, but I think people have gotten adjusted to that fairly well, and the Golden Knights have turned that cap hit from moving on from Marc-Andre Fleury to a couple of guys that have been, you know, very instrumental in helping the Golden Knights get to where they are right now, and that's being Laurent Brossoit and Evgeny Dodonov. So I think there's definitely that inkling that a lot of people are still trying to get used to the fact that he's not here, but I think people are starting to realize that moving on from him could end up being one of the best things to happen to this team. And right now you're seeing it with them being 12-8 right now through 20.
I wonder how much Jack Eichel's availability maybe influenced the idea that they could make a move like that, clear some cap space, keep a dog in the fight. And then ultimately, Danny, I don't need to tell you that the second overall pick from 2017 or 2015, excuse me, is now a Golden Knight. So there's never really been a lack of star power, it seems, within this franchise. What did you think of the move to go out and acquire another, you know, superstar caliber NHL forward in Jack Eichel?
Well, I will be the one of the few to, and I've done it before, I've acknowledged that I didn't think they actually needed to go out and get him, but if he is available at a good price, you go out and do it. And to be quite honest, I'm still kind of shocked that they only gave up 2 draft picks, Alex Tuch, who has not played a game this year, and Peyton Krebs, who had not scored a point in the NHL level this season. They pretty much traded zero production for zero production with the hope of the production coming in February or March. You know, the plan of aggressiveness of going out and getting these guys like Stone and Pacioretty and now Eichel is quite, it's still boggles my mind that this is a 4 or 5 year franchise, and the fact that they've been able to capitalize on every move that they've made in a calculated way since year one to go out and get a guy like Eichel again, basically for nothing. And if he comes back and you're in the middle of a playoff race, and he comes back and he's as good as he was when he was, you know, hitting, you know, point per game status in Buffalo, you hit the jackpot there, no pun intended. But, you know, right now, the way that the Golden Knights have built this franchise, it's still at a position. I didn't even mention Alex Pietrangelo in that group. But to get the guys they've gotten to this point and have built themselves to a level where they can succeed 5-10 years down the road, especially with the hope that they, you know, develop some prospects and whatnot, this team is on pace to be as competitive for the next, you know, 5-10 years, and it's really ridiculous to see.
I'm chatting with Danny Webster out of Vegas, and Danny, I'm wondering from your perspective, the importance of having the kind of star power that would keep you on the forefront of the news in a market where, you know, I don't know how UNLV does. I'm sure they're widely covered. I can only imagine the kind of trumping the NFL does, you know, in most sports in an American market, and you've got the Raiders there you're competing with. But, you know, this is definitely a niche thing. It's been amazing watching hockey, hockey fans in Vegas sort to create a really special market in that sense. But it was talked about up here in Edmonton, you know, does there need to be a superstar in that Vegas fold in order to stay relevant in the pecking order of the city? Do you believe that there's any truth to that, or is that maybe a little bit of a reach?
You know, I can see it from both sides, because from a marketability standpoint, you kind of want that guy there to be like, oh, well, in the dog days of summer, you kind of want to have the marketability be like, okay, oh, by the way, here's this guy who's leading this hockey team. But I think the allure of the Golden Knights, when you look at, you know, what has happened in professional sports in this city, and I'm born and raised here, so seeing the boom of professional sports here has been absolutely insane. But when you look at the way that the Golden Knights entered the league and just the way that they've been able to hold on to the success ever since year one, and how much the team and the city have kind of, you know, bonded together and have created this unique bond that I don't think will ever be broken, you see that, and you see the success that they've been on for so long, and you realize that this is still their team. This is still their own team. It's no slight on the Raiders, and, you know, UNLV is obviously its own institution, and it's been getting the top billing for so long. But no disrespect to the Raiders, the Golden Knights are this city's team. And I think for as long as that allure stays, and for as long as this team, you know, does what it does in the community and does what it does on an on-ice level, which is, you know, being one of the best teams in the league, I don't necessarily think you need that superstar power to be a successful product. And I think as long as that happens, there are going to be so many people that are going to support this team, and it's going to be, I think there are going to be a lot of people that will always think that the Golden Knights are at the top of the billing in this city.
That's good to hear, you know, and certainly a unique, we're still on, I guess, the not necessarily the frontier of what that is like as a hockey market, but we're finding out every year that passes, you know, what the staying power of hockey is in Vegas. And frankly, it hasn't dropped off at all. So I was curious, you know, with the bevy of moves that have been made, there's a lot of money tied up there and not a lot of players all of a sudden. I wonder, Danny, whether you've considered at all, you know, some of the salary cap ramifications in the next few years with some of these, you know, bigger price tag contracts like Eichel, like Alex Pietrangelo, etc., on the books now in Vegas?
Yeah, I mean, that's really going to be the biggest question. I think even when Eichel comes back, that's going to be the biggest question, is how do they fit Eichel into the salary cap once he comes off LTIR? And, you know, I look in the short term, especially, you know, the two names that have popped up are Riley Smith and Brady McNabb, and those two guys are playing right now like you do not want to trade them under any circumstances whatsoever. So you got to love that for contract years, that's for sure. Down the road, that's where it gets tricky. I think I don't remember the numbers off the top of my head, but I think they're only going to have $11 million left in cap space committed to, I want to say, like 13 players. And obviously, you know, in a perfect world, if, you know, if fatigue and stamina were not a factor, you could shell 13 guys out into a lineup every day and hope for the best. But I don't think this team wants to do it. I mean, they're only a few months removed from having played 15 guys in a President's Trophy winning game against Colorado back in May. So I don't think they want to go back that route again. But it's definitely going to be interesting to see what they do cap-wise, not just in the next couple of months, because that's going to be its own challenge, but even going down the road, knowing that, you know, Max Pacioretty's contract is going to be up soon, you know, Jonathan Marchessault's contract will be up in a couple of years. You know, there are a lot of questions that have to be answered as far as that goes, but the one thing you can't say about this team is they don't try, and they go out and get the big fish as much as they can, and they're going to have to either put those results to the test and start winning some games and start winning a Stanley Cup, or face some tough questions down the road.
When I ask you who the Golden Knights' rival is, what's the first team that comes to mind?
Oof, man. You know, it was the Sharks, I think, the first couple of years. But I don't even know if you can consider that a rivalry anymore, just because San Jose has kind of fallen off and Vegas has dominated that series over the last couple of years. I think right now, gosh.
The Sharks was my answer, too, for what it's worth. And I do, of course, harken back to the playoff series that they played against each other there. But, you know, it's a young franchise. That's why I thought it might be an interesting question. You know, has there been anything substantial that has stuck around through the first couple of years? But you're right. It's tough when one team's at the top of the Pacific Division perennially, and the Sharks have been trending in the opposite direction really since Vegas joined.
You know what? If I had to pick one, it might be Colorado, and it's not because they're in the same division. You know, these two teams are linked at the hip just for how good they are, and especially last year we saw just how good a playoff series and whatnot could be. I would probably say Colorado. I think that'd probably be my best guess. I mean, it's not Arizona, it's not LA anymore. So if it's not San Jose, it's probably Colorado.
Makes a lot of sense. And frankly, a couple of Western Conference competitors, and should be for years to come as well. We'll wrap up here with Danny Webster, contributor to NHL.com in Las Vegas, and of course with SB Nation as well. You've got probably two of the most exciting offensive players in the league. I mean, with the exception of Nathan MacKinnon, who you also get to see, but, you know, McDavid, Draisaitl rolling into town. Does that come with any buzz? You know, what is it like when you've got these two superstars rolling in on the opposition's colors?
Oh, it's always a fun time. And, you know, I always kind of get a feel for the buzz whenever Edmonton comes to town, because I remember, I think it was before the pause 2 years ago, Edmonton came to town, and it was actually a 3-0 win, I think, for Vegas that night. But I remember I was doing a story with a couple of Edmonton fans who were coming into town, and you just see all this orange, all this blue just show up. And it's not even just the buzz that Oilers fans like to come to Vegas. You get to see McDavid and Draisaitl live. And I think that in itself is like a treat that any hockey fan or anybody covering this team, you know, is thankful to get. And, you know, especially now, considering how good of a start Edmonton is off to, and now that Vegas is kind of getting everybody back, to kind of get McDavid and Draisaitl against Stone and Pacioretty tomorrow is going to be fun. And I think it's probably going to be I think it'll probably be on par for one of the best games of the season.
Danny, this was a blast, man. I really hope we get a chance to do it again sometime soon.
Absolutely. Appreciate you having me, Brendan. Hope to talk to you soon.
Certainly. That's Danny Webster, again, from NHL.com and SB Nation, talking Golden Knights, the Oilers in Vegas for that game tomorrow at 5 o'clock on 630 CHED. 3:30.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
30 for the face-off show. We'll press pause one more time. Back to wrap up Oilers Now after this.
Hi, I'm Darnell Nurse from the Edmonton Oilers, and you're listening to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on 630 CHED.
Just heard from our headliner today, brought to you by Wilhauk Beef Jerky. Just might be the best you've ever tasted. Search for WILHAUK today. Danny Webster's debut on Oilers Now, bringing it on the Vegas Golden Knights, your Oilers' next opponent, Saturday evening, 5 o'clock. It's an early one. I guess with no Leafs game, they were able to put it on in prime time for the East. So your Oilers and Golden Knights get the early one, and then it's back home to take on Pittsburgh on Wednesday, and they're back on the road next Friday against Seattle. So a lighter part of the schedule, and that they're not playing, you know, back-to-backs like they just did, but important nonetheless. Pittsburgh's not going to be easy. They just got Crosby back. We just heard all about the Vegas Golden Knights and why they are going to present plenty of challenges. They just got Max Pacioretty back. They've got Lehner, who I'm sure is going to be a polarizing figure on the text line, but could realistically contend for a Vezina trophy this year. He's been pretty good too. Oilers power play ticking it first in the league, 39%. Penalty kill slipping down to fifth at 86.9. We'll see where those numbers remain or hold after the weekend. This day in Oilers history is brought to you by New West Travel. If you're looking for a great Oilers road trip, fly nonstop to Nashville with Flair Airlines. Watch the Oilers play for only $1,750. Call New West Travel or go online at newwesttravel.com. We'll go back to 1996. 10 different players scored for the Oilers in a 10-1 win over the Flames at the Canadian Airlines Saddle Dome in Calgary. Dean McCann was the high point man with a goal and two assists. Dwayne Rolison and Trevor Kidd, the victimized goaltenders on this day in 1996. This day in Oilers history brought to you by New West Travel. If you're looking for a great road trip, again, you can fly nonstop to Nashville along with Flair Airlines to see the Oilers for only $1,750. Call New West Travel. Go online to newwesttravel.com. We don't really have a lineup report because the team is skating here in about 3.5 minutes in Vegas. Our lineup report brought to you by Craig Hummel at RE/MAX Excellence. Find your dream home. List your old home. Sold today, Edmonton.ca. Reed Wilkins tonight on Inside Sports. We'll have the breakdown. Of course, what we're looking for right now, two things. Are we seeing Stuart Skinner get the nod again, or does Mika Koskinen start his second in a row? And then, of course, is Duncan Keith going to be able to return from an injury that cost him part of the Dallas game, all of the Arizona game, and is believed to be an upper body injury that has him listed as day-to-day? Coming up tonight, again, Inside Sports from 6 to 8 on 630 CHED. Tomorrow, it's the Oilers and Golden Knights from T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada. Reed Wilkins with the face-off show at 3:30. He's a busy man. Your Friesen Brothers puck drop. Cam Moon, Bob Stauffer at 5 o'clock. Always appreciate your contributions on the text line. Congratulations again to Brian F. He's going to an Oilers game of his choosing later on this season. Knew the answer to our trivia question. Bob is back on Monday. We'll have a live show then. In the meantime, we'll send it off to a Global News weather traffic update with Kevin Robertson, followed by Rob Breckenridge from 2 to 3, and then 6:30 CHED Afternoons with Jalen Nye. Brendan Escott saying so long. Thanks for tuning in.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio. 6:30 CHED.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone.
Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.